State Senator Brendan Crighton is with us. And Senator, welcome back to MSO News Sports and our Connection Spotlight interviews. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Bill. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Senator, there is so much to talk about regarding the Lynn MBTA commuter rail station that kind of out of the blue, at least to a local resident like myself, that they announced that it may be closing and there's going to do all kinds of construction work at the site and so on. So fill us in. What is, and I know you had a press conference earlier in the week about this in the last week. So tell us a bit about what's happening with that commuter rail station.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, I think most folks are aware we have two commuter rail stops in Lynn, but one that is accessible fully by the public in Central Square. And it's had its fair share of challenges over the years, largely due to deferred maintenance by the MBTA on both the station as well as the garage. And, you know, I was a ward councilor and a city councilor in Lynn for 6 years. And I think probably my most frequent calls I would get were about the, you know, on cleanliness, on, you know, not really a safe environment, lack of lighting and security, and just the infrastructure in itself down at the garage and station. So, you know, we've been talking to the T about this for a long time. I remember working for then Senator McGee and touring, you know, both facilities with previous GMs and other folks to really highlight the need for a bigger investment down there. So recently, over the past few years, the T has expressed a willingness to, you know, either repair the garage at first, and now more recently, take down the garage and rebuild it either through a private-public partnership or, you know, potentially having some type of mixed use there with parking still available for the station. And at the same time, they've been talking about the need for a new station, given the infrastructure has been in such a state of disrepair. Unfortunately, the plans and kind of details of both of these projects haven't really been as robust as the Lynn delegation, myself, Rep. Pete Capano, Rep. Dan Cahill, and Mayor Nicholson would have liked. I'll try to wrap this up because it does get a little long, but recently the T had reached out and, you know, more or less said, hey, the station actually needs to close. And, you know, we had thought by their indications it was because of, you know, they need to start construction work and other things. But it became clear that they had some safety concerns. So we wanted to, again, get more details. We invited the general manager down to the station last week. He came down with, you know, a number of his top people in the rail division, as well as some folks that were pretty well connected with the details of Lynn Station. And, you know, we walked through and kind of just asked around about what the safety concerns were. And it became apparent that, you know, the major concern was around an elevator that they've since, you know, put out of service, and they're providing handicap accessible transportation to Swampscott. So that issue is kind of temporarily resolved. And the other safety issues they had were things that they could, you know, repair and maintain service continuing there. So to kind of sum it up, the T was planning on closing our station. They had cited safety reasons. We had asked, you know, we had asked them to carefully review that. They did so. They've deemed the station is safe to operate now. This was just news last Friday. It came, you know, a couple days before the proposed closure. And the other issue we have, and we still have, is when the station does close, and it will need to at some point for construction of the new station, they've offered us no mitigation, meaning they've provided no alternative transportation for our T riders. I'm sure folks have seen shuttle buses around for the different closures they've had of other subway systems. They have refused to provide us shuttle service to Swampscott. And in fact, they said, when you go to Swampscott, you have to pay a higher fare. I think this is a slap in the face to our riders. We recognize that, you know, stations occasionally need to be temporarily closed or closed for a longer period of time. But when you do so, you must make sure that riders have access to other transportation. So that's kind of where we are now. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but it's been a pretty convoluted process.
No, and I understand that. I appreciate that. I do appreciate the lengthiness and thoroughness of your answer, because I think there's been a little lack of information publicly about it. So we've got that now. I'm going to just jump on to something else here. I know you've been involved in the past with ferry, other trans, with the Lynn Ferry in particular, and there was a bill passed in the legislature this past in this session. Providing some funding. Maybe you could share with us what that means and what that entails for the Lynn Ferry, and also, I guess it might connect to other areas as well.
Yep, absolutely. So there's been a few ferry amendments filed recently. Senator Edwards, Lydia Edwards from East Boston, has a great interest in this for East Boston and Winthrop, which she represents. Senator John Keenan down in Quincy. And you know, myself, and then we've also expanded this up to Gloucester, where Senator Tarr is, and Salem, where Senator Lovely is. So we've kind of created this coalition of legislators that are interested in water transportation, and we, you know, all look at the Sumner Tunnel closing for 4 months, you know, more than 4 months next year. And with traffic already back to pre-pandemic levels, and just, you know, coming from the North Shore, just soul-crushing traffic, as I'm sure you know, to get into Boston. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when that Sumner Tunnel closes, how we're going to get into the city at all, or even around here. So we've been looking at getting the Lynn Ferry going again. And I say the Lynn Ferry, but it's really a ferry for the North Shore, which benefits all here, whether you use the ferry or not. It helps get cars off the road. So some of the money that been advertised is just authorization. So there was $28 million in authorization that would allow the next administration to fund this ferry service, you know, keeping fares at a reasonable level. And then there's some money that is actual, you know, real dollars that could be spent in the short term. So Senator Edwards was able to get $1 million through our budget for ferry transportation. And then recently, my amendment passed for $1 million for Lynn. It was partly intended to offset the commuter rail station closing, as well as the Sumner Tunnel. So we're still trying to figure out, you know, how quickly we could get a ferry operation up and running. You know, we need to figure out the cost. Obviously, fuel has gone, you know, skyrocketed. So there's a lot of details that still need to be worked out. But I think the Sumner Tunnel closing, the traffic situation, the safety and operational issues currently at the T that have led to many service cuts and closings, you know, just highlight the need to go to the water and to expand our transportation options.
And I'll stop there as well, because again, a very comprehensive answer, Brendan. And I want to jump to housing. I want to make sure we cover some issues that you've deemed as very important in your you know, Senate tenure and public service tenure. But housing. So tell us. I know some things are happening there as well. So in affordable housing.
Yep, absolutely. So you know, we've been experiencing some of the highest costs of rent, some of the highest cost of homeownership in the nation. You know, over the past, well, you know, last session, we were able to pass the Housing Choices Bill, which would really help increase the production of housing, which the theory is that that would bring down, you know, more supply would bring down the cost here. We've also made some major investments in rental subsidies and making sure that folks can safely stay in their home. But, you know, anyone that's, you know, on the market for housing, or just, you know, paying attention to it, knows that we're still, you know, hundreds of thousands of units behind where we need to be, and it is, you know, really burdening so many families. You're dealing with, you know, high costs of inflation and fuel and other things, and our housing prices and our rent prices just continue to climb. So there are other things that we can do to build off the policy initiatives that we got in place last year. We've made, again, historic investments on rental subsidies and put a ton of ARPA money towards building homes, and also homes that are affordable for folks. Unfortunately, to build things, it takes a little while, so a lot of that investment hasn't beared fruit just yet. Recently, in our economic development bill, I put forward an amendment that would create ADU, so accessory dwelling units, by right across the Commonwealth. As with any zoning regulation right now, cities or towns are able to determine, you know, what certain uses are allowed and what aren't. ADUs are basically, you know, it could be, you know, within your existing single-family home. It could be, you know, attached to your home. It could be a detached. It could be a garage or an old carriage house. But basically giving homeowners the flexibility to, you know, either rent out a unit there or to have a you know, a caregiver or a family member. For far too long, our zoning code has not allowed these types of uses. We think there's a way that you can allow it, which brings more units onto the market, but also that the town or city could still put reasonable regulations in place to make sure that, you know, it matches the character of the neighborhood or town and, you know, helps, you know, just keep in line with the overall feel and culture of the town. So it's a small step. It's kind of a common sense thing, but we passed it in the Senate. Hopefully it comes out in the economic development bill this week. I'm not sure when this airs, but we are in our last week of the session, and we have many balls up in the air right now, and I'm really hoping this one passes because it would be a big deal for folks that want to, you know, stay in their home, and also a big deal for folks that are looking to rent as well.
Yep. Well, Senator, I often let all the guests and yourself, obviously, as well, with a final closing comment or something I missed out asking you about, or any other updates that you want to share with us from the State House. Anything else to share with us at this time?
I think just on the transportation end, so I am the Senate Chair of the Joint Committee on Transportation. We had an oversight hearing last week. Obviously, I think everyone, any MBTA rider right now is, you know, has serious concerns around the safety of the overall system. We share those concerns just days after our oversight hearing. We saw the horrific images of the Orange Line car on fire, 200 passengers having to be evacuated, you know, a ton of uncertainty. I can't imagine the trauma that they experienced. So obviously our thoughts are with them, but it certainly only strengthens our resolve to make the reforms and investments that we need to at the T, and to take an overall look at the structure of the T, its, you know, entire organization, to see how it fits in our transportation system moving forward. It seems like every day, and today was no different, you open up the newspaper or turn on your TV and you see another incident at the T. This isn't any one administration that caused this, but we're determined to be part of the solution in the legislature and to hold officials accountable. So we will be having another oversight hearing soon, in the next month or so, and probably subsequent hearings after that to review every possible shortcoming, to review the FTA's finding. The FTA is conducting an almost unprecedented investigation into the T. They've only done this one other time down in D.C. So it's a big deal, and unfortunately, you know, I'd much rather be talking about increased service and electrification of our line and, you know, electrification of the entire commuter rail system or ferry transportation. You know, there's many great opportunities we have as a Commonwealth, but if we don't have a safe system, then we're never going to get, you know, riders back on the T like we need them today.
You got it. All right, Senator, thank you for your time. Thanks for the commentary and comments, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, there's Senator Brendan Crichton with us from his 3rd Essex District. And I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.